brought to you by the WZIP Sports Team.
This is Sports Power Talk Overtime.
Featuring in-depth interviews.
Someone brings a video up and was like, hey, look at this. And we all kind of watch it. And to be honest with you, we all just kind of like chuckled and just thought nothing of it.
Exclusive original content.
They do need Austin.
Every brand needs Austin. That's why SmackDown won. That's why SmackDown won. Oh, is because yeah. They got Austin Theory.
And of course, the hottest takes.
Kings Celtics.
Okay.
If we see Kings Sixers, I'll sell my dog.
Man, you heard it here first. Mitch Bates is going to sell his dog.
So get ready because it's time
for SPT Overtime.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to an edition of the greatest sports talk show this side of Lake Erie. It is Sports Power Talk Overtime with another episode of Hockey Talk. This time, it's about the 2024 NHL trade deadline. My name is Casey Rush. I am your in-house Pens fan. And the guy who is currently waving the white flag as the Penguins are overcooked. And over there, we have a new analyst joining us, and it is Liam Riggenbach. Liam, how you doing?
Doing fantastic. Big Rangers fan. Excited to talk hockey today.
Yeah, I bet you are. And Corey Chambers will be joining us as well, but she's going to be joining in the middle of the show because she is at work right now. So, but we'll add her into the mix eventually, so... We're going to go over the trade deadline, which teams look like Stanley Cup contenders after all the big trades that have been happening. We'll go over winners and losers. We'll go over all the big moves. But first, let's go over how our teams are doing right now. Like, evaluating our team's performance as of this week. Liam, how have the Rangers been doing? They've been doing pretty well, haven't they?
Yeah, pretty well. Fourth in the NHL, third in the East. A little streaky, as always. They had a really great February. They had 9 wins in a row. And then they, of course, as the, being the walking jinx that I am, I go to watch them play and try to get their 10th in Columbus. And they lose by 2 goals to a just awful Columbus Blue Jackets team. They just have, like, the classic Ranger mistakes they've had the past couple years, where, like, they let these mistakes pile up. They let one goal go in, and 30 seconds later it's another. Like, they're not good at, like, rebounding. Like last night against the Tampa Bay Lightning, they have a 2-goal lead and then play a great first period, come out in the second, give up 2 right back-to-back. And then you get another one in the third, lose all momentum right away by giving up a third goal then. And then towards the end of the third period, you just 1 goal right into another and then give up an empty netter off a face-off loss. Like it's just things tend to steamroll when the Rangers are either in a good way or a bad way. They just let things steamroll, so... They're a team, they just have to have positive momentum going into the playoffs. So hopefully they can kind of get things going on the right track. Because when we're hot, we're the best team in the NHL. Mm-hmm. But hopefully they can get things going right going into a cup run.
Yeah, sounds like the Rangers are the epitome of inconsistency. Even though they are in first in the Metro, they have 90 points in 66 games. They are 6-3-1 in their last 10 games. They're... Losing streak is currently 1, but the Rangers have shown some promise.
Definitely a lot of sour grapes after last night. I was really mad after the Lightning loss.
That's okay. You should be okay. Meanwhile, I'm waving the white flag as the Pittsburgh Penguins are way past overcooked. They're not even Gandhi's flip-flop overcooked. They are, right now, they are volcanic ash overcooked. That is how bad that the Penguins are. Listen. And the sad part is they're only 2.5 games off of a playoff spot, but they're not making it. I don't trust the Penguins to do much of anything, because since the All-Star break, the Penguins have only won 7 out of their last 19 games, and I just don't see it getting any better for them. They'll get a couple wins then and there, but it's going to take a miracle for the Penguins to return to relevance, especially after this trade deadline. Let's go ahead and go over any trades and signings that the teams have made. Let's start with your Rangers. What moves have the Rangers have made?
So we added Alex Wennberg from the Kraken. From what I've seen about him, like I said, I kind of mainly focus on the Rangers, so I had to learn about this guy once we got him. He seems to be a pretty good defensive center that will kind of fill the role that Filip Hedl getting injured left. But he's projected to kind of play on our third line and just be like a good defensive center. Not a great offensive output from him, but a solid guy who can improve our penalty kill, which has struggled at times. It did last night especially. Then we got Chad Rubwedel from the Pens.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know much about this guy either, but what I'm hearing is he's a great depth piece, a defenseman, which we need as of right now. Keandre Miller has just not been himself this year towards the end, and it's been weird to watch. But hopefully he kind of rebounds. But hopefully Rube Weedle is a good kind of, again, depth piece on that defensive end. And then finally we got Jack Roslovic from the Columbus Blue Jackets. And he's seen as a guy who could be a second to top line kind of playmaker. He's not a big goal scorer, but he's a great passer, it seems like. So if he could fill in with Panarin and Zibanejad, just get those guys the puck. Those guys can score all the time. So he could look to have a really good year, just scoring points with assists.
Yeah.
And he's good 5-on-5 numbers and a great passer of the puck. But and considering that we only gave up an additional pick and the Jackets are earning 50% of his salary, I think it was a great pickup.
Yeah. Let me tell you, as a Pens fan, Chad Rue Weedle is going to be an extra defenseman for the Rangers because he's going to be battling guys like Adam Fox, Jacob Trouba, Keandre Miller, even though you said he hasn't been the Keandre Miller type season.
We need depth, though, so that was
– yeah.
Hopefully he's a good add to that second, third line.
He's also going to battle Ryan Lindgren, Braden Schneider, and Eric Gustafson for ice time. But he should be able to compete with that. But he's currently has a plus minus of his career of -7. And he's not that much of a goal scorer like your other defenseman. Mm-hmm. But he should still be pretty serviceable for the Rangers. It's sad to see a member of the 2017 Cup squad go, but for Rue Weedle, it had to be done.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way.
No, makes sense. And like you said, 2017 Cup team, like he's been there, done that. We need guys who've been there, done that, because we're trying to make a cup run of our own.
Yep. You need more experience coming out of your team. And now, the Penguins, they had one of the more major trades we're going to be talking about.
Big sellers at the deadline. Big sellers.
Yep. They're sellers at the deadline for the first time in 20 years. So now, the Pittsburgh Penguins are in desperation mode. They're going whole liquidation. Everything must go. And one of those trades involved the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Carolina Hurricanes. Now, this is the first major trade that we have on our list. But the Carolina Hurricanes, they acquire forward Jake Guentzel and defenseman Ty Smith. In exchange, the Penguins get forward Michael Bunting, Vasily Ponomarev, Cruz Lucius, and Ville Koivunen. A 2024 second-round pick from Philadelphia, and it becomes a first-round pick if the Canes make a cup final, and a 2024 fifth-round pick, which will transfer only if the Canes win the cup. As a Pens fan, I must say, Raleigh, please take care of Jake Guentzel. Jake Guentzel is a huge talent that could play on either wing. Guentzel can complete any scoring line, especially with Andrei Svechkov and Sebastian Aho. If Carolina wasn't a cup contender before, they're certainly turning heads now. But as for the Penguins, this is the white towel wave, because Guentzel was going to be going anyways, whether it was at the deadline or during the summer. Ponomarev and Koivunen, they should be solid prospects, but Michael Bunting is not the type of player I could see transforming a roster. He should still be a solid second or third liner, though. However, I feel like we could have gotten more for Jake Guentzel. We better hope Carolina makes the final, otherwise the return is going to be a little bit under than what we were expecting.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I was really looking at, is the conditions of those picks. Like, the Penguins are really, really banking on a deep run from the Canes, which is a team who really, with this core they currently have, has not been able to do that. And I personally don't like this trade because, as a Rangers fan, we kind of own the Canes. Like, we always played really well against them, so seeing them get that elite-level player in Jake Guentzel does not sit well with me. Hopefully that doesn't take them over the top. But yeah, I thought we were going to get him, honestly. I thought there was a chance the Rangers were going to get him. But I don't like the Penguins, but it is kind of sad to see those old, like, dynasty things start to break up. Like, when it happened with the Blackhawks and stuff and everybody kind of started to leave, it's like, oh, there goes a little piece of, like, my childhood or whatever. But
yeah.
Overall, I think it was a great move for the Canes. We'll see with the Penguins how these prospects pan out. But with the conditions on those picks, I mean, you really hope those prospects pan out. And I did look into some of these guys. I forget some exact stats, but they are having two or three of their what was the fourth guy?
It was Ville Koivunen.
Koivunen, yeah. He's like a 19-year-old having a really good year in the AHL, I believe.
All right, so that's good. Yeah, hopefully Koivunen and Ponomarev become very solid prospects. And you did touch upon seeing how sad it was seeing the Penguins kind of collapse mm-hmm. despite all the – after the 16 straight playoff appearances. It's really sad when you hate on a dynasty, but you're kind of sad. It's like, oh, man, I'm going to miss it.
Like, they're not going to be that team there.
Yeah, I
know. It's going to be somebody else.
The Chicago Blackhawks back in the early 2010s, they were so fantastic. And then you got – but you cannot mention a collapse of a dynasty without mentioning the Red Wings. You have 25 straight playoff appearances, and then it was sad seeing them down in the basement for a while. But I heard they're actually on the up and up.
Yeah, I mean, they signed Kaner, so
– yeah.
I don't think he'd go there if he didn't think he would have had a chance mm-hmm. to win a cup. But
yeah,
honestly, with the way he played with the Rangers at the end of the last year, I didn't really want him that bad. It's definitely not the Patrick Kane of old.
No, definitely not. But the Detroit Red Wings are still in a playoff spot. They're tied with the Islanders, but the Islanders have a game at hand. So it's going to be a very interesting race when it comes to the Eastern Conference. But let's go ahead and talk about another trade that's happened, and that's between the Vegas Golden Knights, who are going all in as the reigning, defending, undisputed Stanley Cup champions. They want more, and they're currently in the wild card spot in the West, and they need more and more pieces, and they're getting that with Noah Hanifin and Tomas Hertl. Let's go over the Hanifin trade first. Now, Vegas gets defenseman Noah Hanifin from Calgary and Mikhail Vorobov from Philly, who's currently playing in SKA St. Petersburg in the KHL. Philadelphia gets Vegas's 2024 fifth-round pick, and Calgary gets defenseman Daniil Mariminov and a 2025 or 2026 first-round pick and a 2024 third-round pick, which becomes the 2025 second-round pick if Vegas wins a series in the playoffs. Now, I see Hanifin as a guy who has been sculpted into this fantastic player. At the start, he had poor decision-making and had so many turnovers. Now he can play big minutes, he can contribute to the second unit on a power play, and he knows when to shoot the puck. Their two best defensemen right now are Alex Pietrangelo and Shea Theodore, and they play on the right, and he should thrive on the left where he's more comfortable. As for Calgary, they have two first-rounders this year, and now they're going to have two in another year in the future. I think Mariminov needs a little more experience in the AHL. He did very well in the AHL with the Henderson Silver Knights with 72 points in 84 games. But the thing is, he is 26, so it is a little concerning being down there. But some players do take longer to develop. And right now, Calgary should thank their lucky stars that they're getting a good prospect here.
No, that's fair. Yeah, they're just hoping that they're getting something back, because Calgary's, I mean, where are they at in the standings? Hold up, let me.
Calgary is currently sitting in 11th in all of the Western Conference, and they are currently sitting 8 points short of a wild card's berth behind Vegas.
Yeah, like at that point, you're just hoping to get something back, hoping to get a good prospect, and it's good to see the Knights go all in. It just seems like, like, you hear these teams always, like, complain about salary cap and things like that, but then some teams just make it work. Like, the Vegas Golden Knights, they always make it work. That's what they do. They're all in. They're ready to go. And it's just crazy to see how they just keep adding talent year after year after year.
Yeah, it's crazy seeing what Vegas can do. But, yeah, but what do we think of Calgary getting all these first-round picks and third-round picks?
I mean, you have to be excited about first-round picks if you're Calgary, because you're a borderline basement dwelling team at this point. So hopefully they have a bright future ahead. You hope to hit on at least half of the, like, at least two of the four. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you hit on at least two of the four, there's two stars. And I mean, hopefully you start trending up in the future, because you don't want to keep playing the game where you're just kind of a middling team, they're contending for a playoff spot, but not really contending to be a real team in the playoffs, but also not even bad enough to go get some like Bedard type player at the very top of the draft.
Yeah, because as I mentioned earlier, they have two first rounders this year, so Calgary's spoiled for choice when it comes to, like, first round picks. But that's not the only trade that Vegas did, because Vegas and San Jose did a trade together, And Vegas is going to get forward Thomas Hurdle, a 2025 third-round pick, and a 2027 third-round pick, while San Jose gets forward prospect David Enstrom and a 2025 first-round pick. Now, Hurdle has missed time due to a minor knee surgery. However, he has 34 points in 48 games. He will fit in nicely as a depth piece on the team with so much depth on the roster, and he could fit into any of the four lines and can rack up points. I can see him as like a second or third liner. I don't know why San Jose is giving away not one but two third-rounders since you're already getting the top prospect in Enstrom, but then again, I'm not the GM of the Sharks. What are you thinking of this trade?
Yeah, GM. Sorry.
No, you're good.
If the GM of the Sharks was making good moves, the Sharks wouldn't be where they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
I guess at this, they're getting a prospect and they're getting a, you said a first, correct?
Yep, 2025.
Yeah,
first
so round. They're just hoping to, I guess, hit somewhere because they don't even have hope. It feels like they were so bad to start the beginning of the year. What'd they lose? 13 in a row to start the season?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Like it was. They're just miserable. It's a sad franchise, which sucks being a kid who grew up on, like, Joe Thornton and the Sharks being awesome.
I know.
But, yeah, they're just miserable to watch. You're hoping to get that franchise-changing player, and you're usually not going to get that in the third round, it feels like. So to get another first is kind of all they got to hope for, and they just hope they don't miss again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad really seeing San Jose collapse like that. Especially, I loved watching them back in 2016 when the Sharks and Pens were in the Stanley Cup final. They were a very talented team with Joe Thornton, as you mentioned.
Oh, I was rooting for the Sharks all the way in that one.
I know you were. I know you were. But it was nice seeing the Sharks play. They did give the Penguins some pretty stiff competition, especially that Penguins team. Yeah, that was very fun watching the Sharks play. But now let's go over another trade. And it involves the Winnipeg Jets and the New Jersey Devils. The Jets have acquired forward Tyler Toffoli. In exchange, the Devils get a 2025 second-round pick and a 2024 third-round pick. What are your thoughts on this?
Honestly, for me, it was – I know the Devils are having a down year, but it was still surprising to see them kind of go the sell route because they do have this, like, youngish core, like – and last year with them beating the Rangers in the playoffs, like I really thought that they were going to kind of be around and be like trying to push themselves over this hump. But it really seems like even the backlash online is people are just mad at this GM not really being – they're not really going all in. So you're kind of wasting Jack Hughes and things like that. So it's just – I mean, it's good to see as a Rangers fan that they're kind of punting on this. But, like, what are you doing? Why are you selling not top of the line but near top of the line talent at the deadline when you should be going all in for a cup?
Right. Because Toffoli is just going to be another goal scorer in Winnipeg's arsenal.
Yep. And that was honestly the biggest knock, it seems, that was on Winnipeg. They could do everything, but occasionally their goal scoring lacked at times. Mm-hmm. So when you add a guy like Tyler Toffoli to come do that, like it's hard to poke a hole in the Winnipeg Jets coming Stanley Cup season.
Yep. Because Toffoli has 26 goals to go along with 44 points in 61 games played in New Jersey. And this will give them another 20-plus goal scorer to go along with Kyle Connor. The Jets are 17th in the NHL in terms of goals per game. Like you said, they've been lacking in terms of scoring production. They sit at 3.11 points per game, so this should give them more firepower.
Yeah, this can really take them over the top. They're going to be really scary coming out of that West.
And you did mention New Jersey. They couldn't get one full season out to Foley, and they are pretty much in the same spot as the Pens are in terms of this season, not historically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not a good look, especially since New Jersey could have gotten more out of that trade.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, it just seems like they're kind of just, I mean, I guess, again, they're having a down season and just things aren't going the Devils' way, but they really are just totally wasting any momentum that they gained from last season.
Right.
And yeah, just it's weird to see a team do that. It's not to try to get better really in any way. They didn't really add anybody in the off season. They just we're gonna run this team back out and now they're kinda selling. It's weird.
Yep. Yes, they are. And so there is another trade we have to talk about, and it involves the current Presidents Trophy leading Florida Panthers, and they got a huge weapon from the Senators in Vladimir Tarasenko.
Ranger legend.
Yep, there you go. And the Senators, in exchange, they get a 2024 fourth-round pick, which becomes a 2026 third-round pick if the Panthers win the Cup, and a 2025 third-round pick. To me, this is the Florida Panthers pointing up at the bleachers. You already have Sam Reinhart, Carter Verhaeghe, and Matthew Tkachuk. Now, if you add Vladimir Tarasenko into the mix, he will be the team's fourth leading scorer with 17 goals. And in 12 years, he has 5 30-goal seasons and 1 40-goal season. And as for the Sens, they're down in the dumps. They're second to last in the East. All they could get is a third and a fourth. Now, some talented players can be picked up in those rounds, but I really don't expect the Senators to do anything of note. What are your thoughts on this?
No, trip? Yeah, the Florida Panthers were honestly probably already the best team in the NHL, and to go see them just add another gun to their arsenal like Vladimir Tarasenko. Mm-hmm. I mean, 4 goals and 2 assists in 6 games in March. Like, he's playing good hockey, and just to have them put further over the top, I'm really hoping that this President's Trophy curse continues because, man, the Panthers look like a wagon.
Oh, yeah, the President's Trophy curse. I think you should be glad that the Rangers are nowhere near
level. They started out the season leading the NHL for the President's Trophy, and it was almost a sigh of relief when they dropped out of those first place in the standings. I was like, whew.
It was like, oh, God.
I mean, it doesn't get worse than the
winning.
Bruins last year.
I know.
All time, like the greatest record of all time, then blow a 3-1 lead. But it still would not feel good. Not good at all.
Yeah. If the Bruins don't end up winning the Cup, that's going to be the biggest collapse, not just in hockey history, but sports history. Because you're talking about a team that had 65 wins going in. And that beat the 62 wins by Detroit and Tampa Bay. And you had a 3-1 lead. You were a Marchand breakaway away from winning the series in 5 games. And then you proceed to lose 3 straight. There's no denying that you don't want the President's Trophy right now. But
no, not at all.
But, of course, the Florida Panthers, they don't listen. And they're going
They don't care about curses. They're going all in. They're pushing all their chips to the table. They're ready to do it. And, by God, I really hope that President's Trophy curse kicks in.
If it doesn't kick in the first round, it'll probably kick in the second round when Boston probably beats them. Or even Toronto. If Toronto beats Florida, I'm just going to laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So we're going to go over some trade deadline winners and losers. And let's go over some winners. What are some winners on your end?
My winners definitely were number one. My two winners were the Jets and the Panthers. Just both of those teams, like I said earlier, the Jets just becoming as complete of a team as they can. Again, it's only adding one guy, but still it seems like common sense, but for teams to just identify a deficiency and to try to go fill it, that doesn't always happen. You don't always have competent GMs like that. For them to see that, go do it, try to go better. Hey, we're going to go try to get a cup this year. That's just a great move, and you love it. I think that's just a great fit for them.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Toffoli is a great move. And then, like we said just now with Tarasenko, adding another gun to their arsenal. Man, the Panthers look scary. I was listening to Spit and Chicklets last week, and they were talking about, teams in the NHL, when they talk about the Panthers, they're saying, we're going to play the best team in the NHL. Like, the Panthers are a wagon this year, and they just continue to get better.
Yeah, they didn't need Tarasenko. You already had Reinhardt. Yeah. You had Carter Verhaeghe. You had Matthew Tkachuk. And now you add Tarasenko into the mix. Yeah.
Scary.
It's a good thing I am not a goaltender going up against the Florida Panthers right now. I would not want to be in any of their shoes. But you did touch upon the Winnipeg Jets. They did get a good 20-plus goal scorer in Tyler Toffoli to go along with Kyle Connor, as well as Mark Scheifele, as well as Connor Hellebuyck between the pipes. So Winnipeg does look like a really, really good team right now. Especially in the Central Division, where it's a bloodbath right now. Because you have Colorado and Dallas tied at 89 with Colorado with a game at hand. And Winnipeg not too far behind with 87 with only 65 games. It's nuts.
Yeah. No, and it's really just going to heat up as we get closer to playoffs. Like, and that's where hockey gets fun. That's when it starts to be fun. It's like right now with March Madness, we're not quite at the tournament yet, but we're at that conference tournament. And, like, things are starting to shake out. And it's just always cool to watch. That's some of my favorite part of sports, is that time right before the playoffs when everything's all tight.
Listen.
It's just fun to watch.
Listen. I don't know why people don't even pay attention to the conference tournaments, because those are the appetizers to the whole thing. Like, especially when we were covering the MAC tournament right now, and Toledo went down the one seed, and just everything else, and all the chaos.
Which is what they do. Toledo loses in the MAC tournament. It's what they do.
Yeah, and their women's team actually went down earlier as the one seed. So I don't know what's wrong with Toledo, though. But chaos is happening in all the conference tournaments, and especially in the final games here in the NHL. Let's go back into some hockey. So my winners are definitely the Vegas Golden Knights. They did pick up some pretty good players. We touched on Noah Hanifin. We touched upon Tomas Hertl. But there's one player we're forgetting about, and that's Anthony Mantha. Like, let's go over the stats first, because he has 21 goals to go along with 35 points in 60 games. And then you add in Noah Hanifin and Tomas Hertl. They're currently in the top 10 in scoring. And, of course, Jonathan Marchessault. And even though Mark Stone is hurt, the Vegas Golden Knights are just going all in. They're looking for replacements, and they're getting them here in the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. And another winner I have is Carolina, especially with Jake Guentzel coming in.
Yeah, you got to get fresh blood in there. That is a great move.
Mm-hmm. And you also get Evgeny Kuznetsov from Capitals fame. He has downgraded a bit, but Evgeny Kuznetsov still remains as dangerous as ever. And another winner I have is the Colorado Avalanche. They have recently acquired Casey Mittelstadt, as well as Sean Walker, and so many more. And Colorado currently sits atop of the Central Division with 89 points in 67 games. It's going to help them, especially with the final games, because almost every single team is in the teens when it comes to games remaining.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely, extremely exciting. And we're going to get some playoff clinchings real, real, real soon.
And playoff clinchings just mean we're closer to playoff hockey, which is the most beautiful mm-hmm. thing in sports.
And we already have two eliminations, and that's Chicago and San Jose.
And a shock to no one.
Yeah,
two horrendous teams.
Yep, two terrible, terrible teams. That's unfortunate. So now let's go over some losers from the trade deadline. What losers do you have?
Honestly, I had your Penguins. I really just didn't like the return they got for Guentzel.
Right.
That was my biggest one, just because of how conditional those picks are. And then with those prospects, you just never know.
Yeah, that's the only loser.
And then I wanted to say my Rangers, but like, I just don't know how, because I wanted them to go make a big swing. I was kind of hyping myself up for it. Mm-hmm. Just going to get one of these big names. Maybe bring Tarasenko back or go get Guentzel. They bring in death pizzas. Hopefully they pan out well. So I can't say we're a loser, but it wasn't exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, listen, there's only one true loser, and that's the Pittsburgh Penguins. They lose one of their top scorers in Jake Guentzel. And as we mentioned, they did not get a really nice return out of it, because you do get Panomarev, and you do get Koivin. However, you do get not one, but two conditional picks. And it only becomes our second-round pick only becomes a first-round pick if Carolina makes a cup final. So,
hey, are we about to see Canes fan Casey here as we come down the stretch?
Yeah, you might have to. Yeah, I might have to cheer for the Hurricanes. I want that first round pick.
Yeah,
but then you also have the fifth round pick, and it only gets added if Carolina wins the cup. So yeah, I'm really going to be cheering for Carolina if they make the playoffs. So pray for the Penguins.
Yeah, going to be seeing a lot more red and black around here in the studio.
Maybe I might have to, I might have to get a Guentzel Carolina jersey if the Canes do end up winning that Stanley Cup. But yeah, that's probably not what's going to happen. But now let's go over which Stanley Cup contenders remain after the deadline. Like, what are your Stanley Cup contenders right now?
Honestly, in my opinion, the teams that I think are just like, I mean, there's obviously going to be 16 teams in the playoffs. Like, everybody knows that. But with this, it's really about, like, who's got a real chance. And I'm just going to list some teams here that I think have a legitimate shot. Obviously, Florida, I've talked very highly of them. Boston, especially with them not having the President's Trophy curse this year, that, again, very, very real. That duo of Swayman and Ullmark, the fact that they didn't end up breaking that up at that time, honestly, they might be winners. I thought the fact that that was even a rumbling just seems stupid to me. I mean, sometimes having two goalies that good can be a problem, but, like, to me, in the playoffs, I just see that as more depth, and one guy's not having a good night or starts out bad in the series, you switch to the other guy, and that should just be an asset, in my opinion. Like, I think the Rangers will have that this year with how well Jonathan Quick's been playing. Like, you have your top-of-the-line goaltender in Igor Shesterkin, but, man, Jonathan Quick has just had a career resurgence this year, and it's just been great to see. But, yeah, like I said, Panthers, Bruins, Toronto's got to get out of the first round again before I even, like, start to think that they can win a cup. Like, I know they did it last year, but it's just, I can't trust Toronto in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't trust Toronto either, but we forgot to add Boston as our winner for just simply doing nothing.
Yep.
Because they are one
game. Don't mess with it.
Yes. They are one game off. They are 1 point off of the President's Trophy, which is where you should be, I think.
Yep. They're basically the one seed, honestly.
Yeah, they didn't have to. And the thing is, they didn't have to do anything. Like, you already have David Pastrnak with 95 points. And then you have the captain, Brad Marchand, with 59. And then, as you touched upon, the goalie duo between Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman. You can't stop these guys.
I hate the Bruins, but the hug is awesome. The hug is awesome.
Yep, that's one of our favorite traditions. That's one of my favorite traditions as well. And you also mentioned the Florida Panthers. Unfortunately, you are going to have the President's Trophy curse if you are not careful. But adding Vladimir Tarasenko should help. And as long as Sergei Bobrovsky still remains reliable, you should be okay.
Yeah, so I had two from there. We'll take two more from the Metro. Obviously, the Rangers, I'm all in this year. It's cup or bust. And then the Hurricanes. I think they're genuinely for real. They go all in for Getzel. I think, honestly, I usually don't take them seriously, but with them bringing in Getzel, I'm genuinely not. I don't want to play them in the playoffs. I do not.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to play the Hurricanes in the playoffs either. The Eastern Conference is becoming more and more dangerous by the minute. Because the Carolina Hurricanes, they currently sit at second in the Metro with 86 points. As we mentioned earlier, they added Jake Getzel, and you're also going up against the likes of Sebastian Aho. Sebastian Aho, Andrei Smeshnikov, and you also have to deal with Pyotr Kochetkov between the pipes. And the Hurricanes right now are just looking like one of the more unstoppable teams in the NHL, and it's very difficult to stop them at this point.
And then I think you start to look at the West, and I honestly think while Vancouver's the best record team in the West, you can't look past Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar for Colorado.
Definitely
that's
not.
That's probably my favorite duo in hockey to watch sometimes. They're just – Cale Makar is so good.
I love watching Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar. These two are so entertaining, especially when you add Sean Walker and Casey Mittelstadt. It's going to be interesting to see what Colorado does from here. They currently sit at 89 points, top in the Central, as we mentioned. And you also have to look at, this may be a dark horse, but I'm still going to stick with the reigning, defending, undisputed Stanley Cup champions, Vegas Golden Knights. Yeah. They currently sit at 77 points, but they can go a lot higher.
If this is hockey. You get in the playoffs, you've got a chance.
Absolutely. The Stanley Cup playoffs are very – it's one of these tournaments where you just pick a random team out of a hat, boom, there's your Stanley Cup champion. But the Vegas Golden Knights, they have 77 points, but they could definitely go higher, especially since they added Hanifin and Hertl. And especially with Alex Pietrangelo and Shea Theodore, Jonathan Marchessault. That's still a dangerous squad coming out of Las Vegas. And
I don't trust a lot of the teams above them. The Knights are very good, but Edmonton, they just don't seem like a team. They're just another team like the Leafs that just can't get it done when it matters. Like, you have Connor McDavid, who's the best player in hockey, but I don't. Obviously, Leon Draisaitl, but I don't trust them to get it done. They just don't. It's starting to feel like Connor McDavid's never going to get a cup. That's what it's starting to feel like.
Yeah. If they waste Connor McDavid, and I don't know what Edmonton does from here, it's going to be the biggest, probably one of, if not the biggest waste of talent in sports history. Yeah. Not just hockey history, sports history. Because
it's going to be sad to see him cup chase, too, if they don't win it. Yeah. Like him do what Patrick Kane's doing, just going contender year to year, and just like being old and trying to get a cup. It just won't be as good to watch. Like he needs one in Edmonton for the caliber of player he is, for his legacy. I feel like in hockey you can't really enter that upper echelon tier if you don't have a cup. It seems like.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Connor McDavid. If they don't do anything, then Connor McDavid is going to become the Dan Marino of the NHL.
Yep.
And you don't want to become the Dan Marino of the NHL. You really, really don't. But there's another team I want to talk about, and that's the Winnipeg Jets.
Mm-hmm. Spoke very highly of them this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yep, especially with you. 87 points. They added Tyler Toffoli. You also have Mark Scheifele. As we mentioned, Kyle Connor getting 20-plus goals as well. And especially with Connor Hellebuck in between the pipes. And we have our very special. We have another guest here. It's Corey Chambers. Corey, let me turn on your mic.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, Corey. What's going on?
Not much. My boss called me into work, but I'm glad I get to be here and talk about the Oilers again because nice. I love them. I've seen some pretty insane trades this year. I was not expecting.
Good that we got all our Oilers hate out of the way before she came in here.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
I'll hear it on the official recording. It's okay.
Yeah, don't make me get in between you two, all right? All right, so, Corey, what moves have the Edmonton Oilers made?
Would you like me to start on January 1st? Because they have a lot of trades
going on. Let's just go around the trade deadline.
Which trade? It was March 6th.
March 8th.
All right, so we're going to start with the beginning of March. So starting first, we had A. Henrique traded. Mm-hmm. He was a fourth-round pick. He was traded for conditioning. Gagner was sent to the minors, Bakersfield AHL.
Oh,
then we had Carrick traded with Taylor, seventh for 24, first, 25, and fifth. Mm-hmm. So he's gone. All of them are centers, by the way, that they got rid of, except T. Stetcher was a defense, traded with a 24th, 7th round pick for 27th, 4th round pick. And then our final one was D. Holloway, center, sent to Miners Bakersfield's AHL. My mm-hmm. bad.
Yep, the American Hockey League.
Gotta love it. I went to a Monsters game this week. Beautiful.
Oh my goodness. Oh, yes.
Beautiful hockey.
Yeah, I went.
Monsters.
Yeah, I went to go see the Monsters game on March 1st when they went with the Chicago, when they play against the Chicago Wolves. I went with my dad's. One of my dad's chief mascot, because he's a chief petty officer in the U.S. Navy.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we get to go many places with his chief's friends. So it was very cool. And we actually got pretty close to the ice seats. We sat at the lower bowl.
That's where I was too. We got
last time I went to a game, we went during the Batman night. Last December, not this December, last December, mm-hmm. We were right behind the Monsters box.
Wow.
Like, we were two rows behind them, which I think I'm glad we got two rows, because some of them are tall, and a lot of them were standing the entire time. And I have a little sister. I didn't want her to not be able to see her favorite team. Yeah. We had a lot of fun. I was dressed as Catwoman. My brother was Batman, and we had little baby Joker.
No.
That was a great game. Yeah. I remember there was one dude who got a skate to the face.
Ooh.
And he didn't flinch when they packed it, and then he was right back on the ice.
That'll ruin your
night. God, I'm trying to remember what number he was.
If people...
A regular Ryan Lindgren.
Yep. If people don't look at hockey and notice how... If people say that hockey players are not tough because they skate, you need to show them some highlights. You need to show skates to the face, because...
I have gotten cut with skates personally. I was a figure skater for many years.
Oh.
My brother was a hockey player. I still have scars on my hands from getting skates over my hands, on my fingers, on my arms. That stuff hurts.
Yeah.
They really started wearing those neck guards now for a reason, man.
Yeah, because of the...
Yeah, especially the with the
moment
former...
Moment of silence for him.
Yeah, especially the former Penguin dying, Adam Johnson. Yeah, they're going to be... Yeah, I can totally see the NHL putting in neck guards as a permanent...
I don't see why not, but...
I think it's a great feature. I think we need to have it.
I think so, too.
Because I'm glad that they took action after... I mean, do we know what's going on with that? Who was the other player? Was he convicted?
I think they did convict him, but...
Yeah, because I remember in the video, it kind of looks like he kicks his skate up. I never remember hearing it. I just remember they were investigating it, and then
Regardless, it was a very tragic death, and I'm glad the NHL has decided to take action and protect its future players.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think what you need to do is kind of with the old helmet rule where you just you grandfather in old players. Sure, if you're already in the league, you don't have to wear it, but make all the new guys coming in wear it.
Yes.
And you just eventually phase it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, because, I mean, people – God, I think the oldest hockey player was, I think, 45 in the NHL. I think that's about the age. It was sometime in the late 40s, early 50s that he retired.
Yeah.
But that'll quickly grandfather out within the next about 20, 25 years, and everyone will be forced to wear those neck guards, which, unlike some sports teams, I'm not going to mention organizations, the NHL, I've noticed, is very good about taking action when there's an accident because they want to protect their players and they genuinely care.
Absolutely. It shouldn't be too far along that neck guards become mandatory for all players in the league. And I honestly see it as a very good move.
Yes. But
Corey, you did come in a little bit late. We were talking about some Stanley Cup contenders after the deadline. What are your Stanley Cup contenders?
You know me, I still think the Oilers, while they had a couple losses since we last were on, but right before the All-Star break, I still think the Oilers are a great Stanley Cup contender. I've mostly been following them, personally. I haven't had much time to watch any hockey, but the Oilers, I think, are my number one Stanley Cup contender. Not just because I'm biased, but because they have had a great season. We know the Blue Jackets aren't going anywhere.
No.
We know they're not going anywhere.
No.
What do you guys think is going to the Stanley Cup?
Well, we definitely had the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, the Florida Panthers.
Oh, my gosh. The Florida
absolute
Panthers.
Wagon. As a Rangers fan, I think this is our year, but... I thought last year was our year too. So
yeah, and then the Boston Bruins, since they're 1 point shy of the President's Trophy curse at 93 points, and they didn't have to get anyone at the deadline. They already have Pasta, you have Marchand, and you have Ullmark and Swayman. Yeah.
One of the few times where doing nothing was beneficial.
Yeah, and then we also had the Carolina Hurricanes with Jake Guentzel coming in, especially with and then Sebastian Aho and. Piotr Kochetkov coming in. And there's also the Colorado Avalanche. We didn't talk much about Casey Milstead and Sean Walker going in.
Yeah, I got these stats pulled up now. I'm a little bit surprised. Things have moved around since we were last on Hockey Talk.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys talk about the Canucks coming in with 92 points out of nowhere? They were about fifth last time I looked. I haven't had much time to look, so this is pretty interesting to see. Yeah, I'm surprised that they were able to make such a comeback. They had a couple losses.
Mm-hmm. They're still the top seed in the West and in the Pacific. But
I'm amazed.
Mm-hmm. And we also talked about the Vegas Golden Knights getting so many players, especially Tomas Hertl and Noah Hanifin, as well as Anthony Mantha. They got him as well.
That's all I can hope for. Because I do have a soft spot for the Golden Knights. I do think they're a great team. I think originally their coaching wasn't the best and they needed to find their groove, but I think this season has definitely helped them find that. And with all these new incoming players, I think they are going to be reformed for next year and they could be a Stanley Cup contender for the next season.
Absolutely.
What do you guys think of the Blackhawks' current standings and the Sharks? Do you guys think they're going to the Stanley Cup?
No.
Mathematically not possible.
We already touched upon them. They're both already eliminated from Stanley Cup contention. Yeah.
At least Bedard looks good, and Chicago has that. But
yeah.
The Sharks are...
Sharks
are a pit of misery, and it's sad. Sharks got eliminated a month into the season, though.
Yeah, they basically did. Both the Blackhawks and the Sharks got eliminated a month before they actually did officially. Yeah.
Did I tell you that my home rink is a huge fan of the Blackhawks? They have their merch. They have copies of their trophies everywhere in Winterhurst.
Oh, really?
Listeners, if you know where Winterhurst is, you'll know what I'm talking about. The owner loves the Blackhawks. He would die for them if he could. Mm. His dreams is to have them playing on his rink. So I hope, I don't remember your name, man, but if you can hear this, I really hope you get that dream at some point. I know you're getting up there in years.
Hey, Kraft Hockeyville, can you get in touch of whoever this guy is and fulfill his lifelong dream?
Yeah.
Get those Blackhawks on the rink. Get them playing just a friendly little game. I would love to see that. I would go to that.
Blackhawks versus Blues at Winterhurst in the NHL preseason. Book it. But
I would love to see that.
Or he could take the top off of his rink and they'll play. They could just start playing Stadium Series games there.
Oh.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Take the top off.
We already have a Ohio Stadium.
I can't wait
Stadium
for that.
Series game in Columbus.
I don't know how the Jackets got a nationally televised Stadium Series game, but good for them.
Good.
Anything's possible. I mean, they were about to get one eventually.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, when I say it had to have been because of Boone being in the All-Star break, it had to have been because he didn't do bad.
He didn't
do half bad during the All-Star break. I watched, and I was surprised.
No.
It had to have been because Boone did so well, and they want to see him play again. That's the only thing
Then you got to give this franchise some shine. I do think, like, going to – because usually that's the only place I get to watch the Rangers play in person is when they come to Columbus. And even I went on a Sunday night, and that place is still pretty packed out with Jackets fans. Like, they have a fairly small but very loyal fan base that still sells decent tickets in that stadium. And if you've got to promote that franchise or it's just going to die and you're going to keep having teams like the Coyotes that just can't, you got to let them establish a little stronghold there in Columbus and maybe giving them a Stadium Series game, getting some cool alternate jerseys, getting them on a national stage will boost that for them.
Yeah, I've been to 3 NHL games, and all of them were at Nationwide Arena. And in fact, the third one was the first Penguins game I've ever went to. I would love to go to PPG Paints Arena one day, but then again, it's nice knowing that the Penguins can play in a stadium an hour away from my home.
Mm-hmm.
But it is amazing. And now you get to play in Ohio Stadium. Like, I've been to a few Buckeyes games that the crowd really knows how to bring noise. So imagine if you get over 100,000 plus members of the fifth line out there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
The shoe is going to be shaken for sure. And also for the last of the Stanley Cup contenders, we talked about the Winnipeg Jets.
Jets? Hold on, let me pull this up. I just saw their stats.
Yeah, they have
87, not bad.
Yep, 87 points, and especially since they added Tyler Toffoli. And also, you also have Mark Scheifele, and you also have Kyle Connor. Toffoli and Connor, two 20-plus goal scorers, and also Connor Hellebuck in between the pipes.
I'm not hating that, honestly. I wouldn't have expected the Jets. They've always kind of been a middle team to me. But to see them, they could be a contender.
They're very good this year. Very complete team.
They came back. It's like the Browns having one good season after a lifetime of misery.
Right. And, yeah, Liam and I talked a lot about the Jets before you got here, so.
Yeah, thank you guys for letting me talk about the Oilers. I know you guys had to get your hate out of the way before I could even show up.
I didn't know you were Oilers fan, so I'm glad we got that out, yeah.
Well, it was mainly him.
Yeah, it was.
So, okay. Not trying to poke any fights in between you. Not trying to start any fights in between you, so. Yep, there you go. She's already
squared up.
She's ready to go.
I'm squaring up. I'm loyal to my Oilers. I don't care if they're bad or good. It's like my grandmother and the Browns. When they literally had an 0-16 season, she was there in the stands almost every single game.
Yep, there you go.
I could never, but my Oilers, my Edmonton Oilers.
Mm-hmm. And so, do you have any winners or losers in the trade deadline?
Like things I enjoyed?
Like, who do you think had the best trade deadline, and who had the worst?
I'm going to be so honest. I only looked into the Oilers. I haven't been able to follow. Mm-hmm. You know, we value our academics here, and I have tried to become an academic weapon this semester.
Yep, that
is true.
I was
looking at some other trades, but nothing really stood out to me. Yeah. I didn't see anything that really stood out, only really with my Oilers trading a couple of their guys back over to the AHL.
Yeah,
a little surprised there, but nothing else that really stood out to me overall.
Yeah, we mainly talked about Vegas being one of the winners with Noah Hanifin, Anthony Mantha, and Tomas Hertl, and then Carolina, especially getting Jake Guentzel and Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Colorado getting Casey Mittelstadt and Sean Walker. But we all know who the only losers are, and that's the Pittsburgh Penguins. They're waving the white flag. They trade away Jake Guentzel, and they don't get a good return out of it. They do get two draft picks, even though both of them are conditional. We basically got to cheer for Carolina to win the cup. Sorry about your Oilers, but let's honestly go, Raleigh!
I'm not really upset about any of them being up in the Stanley contenders. Listen, if the Blue Jackets got up there, I would have been a little upset because they have been bad for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't have as bad of a season as they normally do.
No.
But overall, Panthers, the Bruins, the Hurricanes, I'm good with them. The Avalanche, the Stars, the Jets, the Canucks, and the Oilers, all of them are pretty good teams to me, even though the Oilers are objectively the best. I don't hate any of these contenders. I think it's going to be a pretty interesting Stanley Cup.
Yep, I agree as well. But so the next time we're going to be talking to you guys on Hockey Talk, we're going to be previewing the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Can't wait.
It should be a pretty good one because we got some, of course, the contenders we're talking about. They're going to be some heavy favorites. There's going to be some early first round exits, that's for sure. But that's all the power of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I cannot wait. So that's going to do it for this episode of Hockey Talk, the 2024 Trade Deadline Edition. Be sure to follow us on X at WZIP Sports. Be sure to listen to SBT Rewind and SBT Overtime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to tune in to Sports Power Talk on Sundays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Joining me for this edition of Hockey Talk is
Corey Chambers
and Liam Riggenbaugh.
My name is Casey Rush, and see you guys next time for another episode of Hockey Talk here on SBT Overtime 88.1 WZIP.